Day two of the 2019 Harrogate Spring Flower Show has actually taken place, except it's not spring, it's autumn. It just sounds as though we've had one of those wonderful days. I'm so excited in a kind of Kermit the Frog way because Zoe Jameson's here. Yay, ZJ!
Hello, morning.
Your first ever official location report for Siren on the Southside, Zoe.
Yeah, how exciting.
It's great stuff. And I think you already take a huge reward, really, in terms of getting here, because over the last few days you've done three countries. You've come to us via North Wales, where you're doing a little bit of interning there, moved up through Yorkshire, and you're heading off to Scotland later on today.
Indeed, just touring the countryside. So, yeah, it's nice to stop off here on my way.
It's all great stuff. So, you've had a quick look through some of the brochures. You've obviously entered the Harrogate Showground and so on. Any initial thoughts?
Yeah, well, currently enjoying a cup of tea, so I think we're off to a good start.
Always important, very good from that point of view. I think Giant Vegetables will be appearing, obviously, at least once during our session. We'll catch up with some of our folk we spoke to yesterday. Basically, Zoe, it's your first show. You get a chance to actually say, I want to go there.
Okay, well, we'll have to see what I can find for us to go and visit.
Well, Zoe, this is it. We are in the main hall looking at the future home of the North of England Horticultural Society's Autumn Flower Show, which, of course, is Newby Hall.
We are indeed. What a lovely view we've got.
It's also quite quiet at present because we're doing our usual pre-general public entry aspect. I mean, not that I want to actually say we never mix with the hoi polloi, but frankly, it is Zoe Jameson online here.
We're having an exclusive viewing this morning, aren't we?
Precisely. And I think on from this to those wonderful, unfeasibly large, giant vegetables.
Oh, I haven't spotted those yet. We'll have to go and see what we can find.
Now, this is the moment, Zoe, we have reached the stage where onions, onions, as the old song used to go. Or was it Green Onions by Booker T and the MGs? But as you can see here, first prize for the Harrogate Autumn Flower Show for the onions. These are significant bulb-based vegetables, are they not?
Wow! Amazing! They're enormous!
Yeah. Never let it be said that for your first location report, Zoe Jameson, we weren't going to introduce you to some significant onions.
Indeed.
Because you know your onions, I know, I couldn't resist it. So we'll do a little link up here between the first, second, and third. And as you can see, almost the Olympic statue that we've actually got here. The winning heaviest onion here from that point of view. We'd like to just share with our listener what weight the heaviest onion actually came in on for Mr. Purvis.
Mr. Purvis produced an onion weighing 6.86 kilograms.
Almost hear the cries of pain and tears coming out from that sort of basis. Second prize obviously went to Jay Atherton, who had a 14.44 pound onion. That's for Jacob Rees-Mogg, who obviously likes his imperial measurements. The rest of the world, 6.55 kilograms. And in third place, 6.34 kilograms. That's 13.977 pounds. Heaviest onion in class, of course, Mr. Griffin, or possibly Miss Griffin. I mean, has this whetted your appetite? Do you think, yeah, what the heck with all of this zoology and veterinary stuff? I'm going to grow onions.
Yeah, unbelievable. They're enormous. Where do you even begin with something like that?
Where do you even begin? Well, we did spend a little bit of time yesterday on day one with Chloe attempting to actually sort of track down some experts. Maybe we'll do it this morning. We'll see how things go. We're just actually ahead of the shed talk that's actually there. Take a few more shots. Actually, I do think probably this is crying out for a photo shoot with Spike. What do you think?
Yeah, I think we can get Spike involved in this, yeah.
And as we continue our little promenade through the, I like to refer to this as the Giant Vegetable Hall, but of course it's the NVS Northern Branch Championships of the Harrogate Autumn Flower Show, National Vegetable Society, in case you're wondering what does NVS actually stand for, and leeks, of course.
Yeah, they're also enormous. I've never seen one so big.
It's really opened your eyes, I can see, Zoe, in terms of the kind of areas that nature can actually provide.
Yeah, indeed. We've gone from giant onions to little shallots, and now we're back on leeks. I'm not really sure what's going on.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the world of Southside Broadcasting and Siren Radio's midweek drive-on location, Zoe. This is my life.
Quite a welcome, isn't it?
You appreciate that there's a certain gentleman at Dewberry who clearly the kind of lines he'd be coming out now would be just unbroadcastable.
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
The banana alone is legendary in its own system. And of course, given that we are approaching Halloween, we turn to our other side here. We see some significant pumpkins here.
Indeed. I think I would fit in one inside one of those.
Yep. Of course, Tom Piercy, who runs the York Maze, and upcoming in October, we'll be heading off there to actually deal with the Hallow Scream event and other such stuff. Is a great one for his pumpkins. But as you can see, they actually had to have special pallets to actually rest them on, the weight of the pumpkin being that huge.
Oh, my goodness. I wouldn't like to be carving one of these.
Unbelievable, super cool, outrageous and amazing. Not just the description of Zoe Jameson, but also some of the actual pumpkins that we're actually seeing here at the North of England Horticulture Society's Autumn Flower Show.
Yeah, where do we begin?
Because the weather is so absolutely superb, as of course we knew it would be, because as we ordered the weather yesterday for Chloe, we've done the same thing today for Zoe, which is fantastic. And Zoe, we're outside now looking at some of the themes for this year. You might see one of Spike's friends there. We did actually have a little photo of Spike actually saying hello to his mate in the Prickle Palace.
Oh my goodness, look at it, a home fit for a king.
I think so. I mean, you know, if anything's going to get you to sort of change your particular expertise from horses to hedgehogs, I mean, surely that's got to be it, really.
Exactly, redesigning the architectural world for hedgehogs.
And this is part of the Creative Spaces 2019, Nature Reclaimed. We didn't have a chance yesterday to say what this was about. It's called Chopsticks, or By Chopsticks, a peaceful wildlife garden created by vulnerable adults, featuring purple and pink planting to attract butterflies and bees. That's something we've very much been addressing, and we have another chance to speak to Richard in a few moments, or as I refer to him, the Bee Man. Very much a passionate proponent of how bees are so vital and important, and the sort of challenges that they've been faced with, you know, if we don't address them, could lead to the extinction of us.
Oh dear, hopefully that's not the case, but this garden looks very appealing for us and for the bees, I think.
Exactly. Let's move on a little bit more and do that wonderful thing, which as a male I shouldn't really be able to do, which is walk and talk, but I try to manage it every so often. This is Down to Earth, Shades of Autumn, a cottage-style garden border demonstrating the enjoyment of glorious colours in your garden. It doesn't have to stop at the end of summer. Are you, something I haven't asked you yet, it's my era, Zoe, are you a keen gardener at all?
I definitely don't really have green fingers, but I like the idea of it, and I like the pretty flowers, but maybe
I'd go with that.
Practice.
Actually, keeping a spider plant alive is pretty much, you know, my sort of achievement, really, in many ways.
Yeah, the basil plant in my kitchen's about the height of my green fingers, but yeah. Never mind.
that's what we're looking for. Well, let's have a little wander indoors to the food area and see what delights we can find there, shall we?
Yum, yum, yes, please.
You know, there are certain exhibitors, Zoe, that when we actually sort of first encounter them, we think we're either just unbelievable that they were so good we think we have to come back, or we just thought we just have to come back because of all sorts of wonderful things. And we're back here at what I tend to use the sort of Italian notion of a Rucello in terms of lines and that. But obviously with our rhubarb man here, which I'm deciding to actually use as his secret identity, it is rhubarb man. You can see there some of the delights of rhubarb man. In fact, he's actually covered up one of his sort of images of rhubarb man at work here, is the proprietor and one of the key folk of Rucello, of course, we're speaking about.
Sorry.
Yourself?
Your name?
David Burnley.
Excellent, it's great. You know, I might just leave that in. What the hell with the editing? I'm actually fine, David. I won't actually try it at this point of view. Not too much alcohol in this, but hopefully, Zoe, are you ready for this little first taste of Rucello?
Yeah, what a way to start the morning.
Yeah, exactly.
You start the morning every morning with that, I'm sure.
Little did Zoe think when she was working on the Jubari stand a wee while ago at the Brabham International Horse Trials that suddenly she'd become one of our regulation reporters, in betwixt becoming one of the world's greatest vets, currently in the final year of her Royal Veterinary stuff. I know, it's very exciting, isn't it?
It's amazing. I didn't realise I was in such august presence.
It's very true. Are you ready for the taste test then, Zoe?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. Are you ready?
We're going live, okay.
Okay, ready?
This is very exciting. A hush descends on the whole sort of era as we actually have the whole system. And the thoughts are?
Wow! Yeah.
And that coming from a girl who actually on the Dewberry stand always have champagne to hand as well. So this is good. This is good.
It's delicious!
Share with us the secrets. Why is Rucello such a fantastic thing? And I'm sure went down a storm yesterday and will over the weekend.
Well, Rucello is made with the fresh rhubarb. It's 18% alcohol, which in modern parlance actually means it's 82% rhubarb.
One of your five a day?
Of course, it's a vegetable. It's a vegetable!
Great. Yeah,
that's the sort of educational stuff that's actually there. So marks out of 10, Zoe, as our wine taster today?
Yeah, pretty good. Let's give it a strong 10.
So, are you going to go around tasting everybody else's wine as well today?
No, I meant to be driving me.
She started off in Wales yesterday. She's up in Yorkshire today and is in Scotland, that other third country, later on today.
Oh, right. Fantastic. So you can't get drunk today on free samples.
No, it must be. No,
exactly. Quite rightly so, too. And a reminder in terms of your Facebook page, how can people actually get you on Instagram and Facebook and so on?
Yeah, if you just get onto Google, search for Ruccello. It's R-H-U-C-E-L-L-O. And you'll find us.
Say hello. Say Ruccello. We're working with that overnight, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
Zoe, we have just come to a wonderful exhibiting stand, which I think actually could probably deserve an accolade in itself, really. I'm looking at this wonderful sign here, which clearly is Fresh as Week approaches in many universities, certainly University of Lincoln, etc. Going to university / leaving home.
Yeah, what a big move. This is a beautiful stand. It's called Happy Dance Sea Glass, and it's very creative.
And so let's have a chat with the lady who's behind Happy Dance Sea Glass, the awesome...
I'm Julie Smith. Hello there.
Julie, is this your stand, or is it a case of, no, I'm just keeping it warm for somebody?
No, this is my stand. So I collect sea glass, and I have done for a number of years, from the northeast coast of England and other parts of the world as well. And I just create simple artwork using the sea glass that I find, which I spend hours of time strolling on the beach, and then I take it home and create pieces of artwork for people.
This is absolutely phenomenal, and some of the things that we're actually looking here, in terms of obviously the things that we've got, literally stones, pebbles, a variety of other things. Zoe, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's incredible, so creative. I think my favourite so far is going to be cow parsley. Look at it.
What's not to love about cow parsley?
It's a bit of a trend at the moment, cow parsley, so I've kind of latched onto that. And actually, the cow parsley is probably my most popular product that I sell.
So it's the kind of... I always knew that Zoe was literally... She, if there was a finger to be had on the pulse of contemporary culture, Zoe would actually have it on. It's phenomenal. She's going to be the coolest vet ever. And in terms of your own favourite, I know it could be a bit like asking an author to choose between their favourite books. Are you also going to go down the line of cow parsley or something completely different?
Well, I was inspired by one of my pictures by my son, who is actually going to university at the end of this month. Be happy, work hard, dream big. So that's inspired by my son, who is about to fly.
And which institution is he heading off to?
He's off to York University.
Yes. I mean, obviously, it's not Lincoln, but, you know, at the same time, you know. All, by the way, so you were talking about how you actually work on the coast, etc. Whereabouts in the country do you actually sort of get most of your samples and so?
So from the northeast coast, it's got a really rich history of glassmaking in the northeast, and so... A lot of the sea glass that I find dates from about 1850 to 1923, so the Durham coastline in particular is very fruitful for sea glass hunters and is as well known, actually. People come from all over the world to look for our sea glass that has been discarded by the Victorians at one point, waste glass at the end of the day.
Perhaps they were too busy building piers.
They probably were, but not probably in Durham. They were maybe doing that somewhere else.
Well, I mean, Wigan can have an indoor pier, etc., according to other things. Finally, how can people actually access your details online if they're listening to this thinking, I need to have some Happy Dance Sea Glass now?
Well, I've got a website, www.happydanceseaglass.co.uk, and I can personalise things on request and take commissions, so happy to hear from anybody who'd be interested. Thank you.
You know, that's pretty much the most exemplary debut interview we've had for quite some time, really, in many ways, Zoe.
Yeah, unbelievable.
See, we weren't that scary after all, were we?
Thank you very much. Lovely talking to you this morning.
Fantastic. Well, as I was writing the script collectively with Zoe for this, we felt, okay, we've done the huge, humongously sized vegetables, so let's move to teeny, teeny, teeny tiny trees. Bonsai. Japanese trees, of course. And here we have the winner for Best Native Tree from the Yorkshire Bonsai Society, Best Homegrown Tree. One you could pretty much fit in your car quite easily, Zoe.
Oh my goodness, it's so cute!
We're looking at a tree that obviously has been cared for, developed and instructed, and has quite rightly picked up first, best in show. We can see the commemorative shield there. Winner, it is obviously the Linford Christie or the Jessica Annis Hill of trees.
Yeah, my goodness, it's got lots of awards here. We've got best homegrown tree, And a little plaque for that as well. It's won everything.
It's literally worked it out. If you look at the Harrogate Autumn Show Best Homegrown Tree over the years, that's been shared. Actually, Peter Barker is pretty much a regular. I mean, I see you won it in 2018, 2017, 2016, 2020. In fact, Des Lloyd, the last person to actually take the tree away from him. And that obviously must have been a bit of a disaster for Peter Barker, because that was 2013.
Indeed. Well, Peter Barker's done it once again in 2019. The reigning champion. He's taking that shield home with him again this year.
Well, there are two spaces left there. So, I mean, Zoe, would you sort of say, you know, a late entry for next year's show and newbie? Would you actually sort of say, yeah, I'm just going to get my bonsai and get it going?
I mean, I think we put the odds on Peter Barker. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
The Court of Honour, apparently the winner's row in, I suppose, horse racing terms, of the British Gladiolus Society, and the champions that are actually here. And your thoughts on this particular area, Zoe?
Yeah, very exclusive, isn't it?
Yeah, I think these are the VVVIPs, I mean, very, very, very important plants around the actual show. And I've all done extremely well. We've got a second day champion. We've got the grand champion, of course, here, which I think has been awarded together with the best 400. So a treble winning Ivory Queen variety there from the British Gladiolus Society. This is probably the kind of spirit that our politicians are looking to get back to in terms of the kind of championship gladioli that can actually deal with negotiations in Brussels and beyond.
Indeed. Instead, we've got the cream of the crop stood right beside it, so who knows?
Yeah, exactly. And not that we're intimating, of course, as I'm sure Zoe would be quick to sort of say, that our politicians are plants, but it's been suggested, you know. I mean, many's the time I've had a more interesting conversation with a cabbage than a politician. No names, obviously.
Maybe the less said about that, the better.
We have been joined, Zoe, by an awesome individual, clearly. We refer to him as Mr. President because he is the president of the British Gladioli Society. You see what I meant about politicians? Now, here we are, just working through in so many ways. Donald Trump, please take note. And it's the awesome Trevor.
Yes, it's a great show we've had. Unluckily, I have got no flowers here. I got burnt.
No, the line to take, Trevor, is you felt you wanted to give other competitors a chance.
So you stepped to one side. I don't do things like that. It's just been a disappointing end to the year. But there's some terrific flowers here.
Well, we were looking at the Court of Honour here. And first of all, can you share with us why you use the term Court of Honour? Because this seems to be something unique to the gladioli in particular.
Yes, it's where the best spike in every size what we produce is shown to their full potential. And then to have the champion of the Court of Honour is a great, great privilege. But it's the best spike in all the show, what we've had.
It's certainly looking very impressive. And yesterday, so we just, with my assistant and Chloe, we were looking at areas within this. And the key question, of course, is how do people reach this kind of level? I mean, how do you get, for instance, in this triple winning, treble winning, grand champion, second day champion, best 400? What makes that stand out in particular?
It's just perfect on the day. Mind you've got one day where, well, luckily the extra spike has been grand champion both days, yesterday and today. But
there's just no stopping. It's an unstoppable gladioli.
I mean, it was so cold in here last night that nothing's actually moved. So doing the second day champion today was quite an easy task, really. But yeah, it just stands out. It's got a beautiful shape to it, plenty of buds, nice long stretch. Can't say no more, really.
Could almost be describing our co-host today, Zoe Burnham, anyway, so in all sorts of ways. Or even Zoe Jameson, let's get the name right. It's been a long day. Zoe, question for yourself.
Yeah, interesting. So at home, you obviously grow flowers as well?
I grow croissants. I've actually won a first in the croissants side.
There we are, you see.
Well, I had to bring something up. But usually I bring about 70, 80 blooms here, and I just haven't got them. Just haven't got anything left. The weather after the bank holiday weekend, we had, because I live down in Aylesbury, we had temperatures going 34, 35 degrees for 5 days. It just burnt burnt them all, burnt all the flowers, so they wouldn't open after that, so I just chopped them off.
In terms of climate change, then, it's interesting, we were talking yesterday to Richard from the beekeeping area and so on. I mean, clearly it is having an impact. You're sort of noticing this from that point of view. Is it a case of, no, it's all right, it's just an aberration?
I don't think so. I was just unlucky in 4 days. I mean, the week before, when we went up to Poynton to the National, I had everything on the Court of Honour. So it isn't, it's just one of them things, really.
Nevertheless, Trevor, it's important because Zoe and myself have just identified that, in my case, just keeping a spider plant alive is a significant step forward. And Zoe, you've also said you're not necessarily green-fingered.
No, absolutely not. The basil plant in my kitchen is about the height of my ability, so maybe they'll take note from
it's
you.
It's a start, you see. It's a start.
So, Trevor, what advice can you provide for us in terms of, hypothetically, you know, Zoe goes away today to actually say, right, I'm going to go gladioli, you know, I want to combine my veterinary surgeon work with horses with gladioli. What should she do?
Veterinary work and horses. Well, you've got the ready-made fertiliser, haven't you? Really?
Yeah, I suppose that's a good place to start.
You're on the right track, but they're easy flowers to grow. To just grow them for the house, if you wanted a vase for the house, just plant the corms and let them grow. That's as simple as that. You've got no... With these, there's a lot of tying to do and manipulation of the flowers to get them to that perfect state. But just an ordinary gardener, you would really just plant the corms in early May and reap the benefits later on in the year. Give them the occasional bit of love and tender care with, you know, a drop of water now and again. But they're easy enough to grow. It's like all plants. To grow plants in a garden, it's easy if you don't want to get to perfection. If you want to get to perfection, then you've got to realise that there's an awful lot of work will have to be put in. But, you know, they're easy, I do assure you.
Right, well, we'll maybe leave the perfection to you, but I'll see what I can grow in the meantime.
Yeah. I think you ought to have a go. Yeah, you know.
I sense a challenge coming on here, definitely. And in terms of obviously finding further advice, going to BritGlad.com would be a site you'd probably recommend.
That will give you all the information you need, even from, you know, the beginner stage to we'll see you up here next year.
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
There's no commitment there.
But I do like, I mean, the term Brit Glad. I mean, it's, you know, in a world where we've had all sorts of changes, etc. What a wonderful thing to have. Brit Glad, founded in 1926 as well. And you're the president. President Trevor Fawcett. Yes, I mean, it's just awesome.
I mean, it's a great honour to be a president of a, you know, a long-going society. And, you know, let's hope we're still going in... to get the 100.
Yeah, the centenary is within sight. Come on, the centenary is within sight.
Well, I'm getting older, that's the problem. But the enthusiasm never dies.
Trevor, it's been awesome. And who knows, Zoe might be coming, as this will be the opening steps to actually sort of combining veterinary surgery with gladioli growing. Yeah,
we'll see.
you've got to be more committed than that, really. You've got to say, yeah, I'm definitely going to have a go.
No, she's a straightforward talking girl, basically.
She hasn't said that, though, has she?
We have entered a place that even I didn't go into yesterday, Zoe, because I left it to Chloe and Richard to effectively do their bits and pieces, and we're quite literally in a beehive.
Yeah, we've come from the flowers, and now we're inside a little beehive. I'm not really sure.
It's like birds and bees and so on. I did actually comment yesterday that clearly anybody who actually has any of these particular samples of pollen entering their nasal passages would have a major nightmare. Then, of course, I was corrected on the basis of, well, obviously they're too big to go up the human nose as standard. We're looking actually at their varieties of pollen and the kind of things they look at, they look like under a microscope. And I can't understand why hay fever can actually be such a problematic issue at this stage.
Yeah, very interesting shapes and sizes, aren't they?
We've got the blackthorn, or Prunus spinosa. We've got the ling heather variety of Calune vulgaris, the dandelion, Taraxacum officinale, and of course the ivy Hedera helix from that point of view. And without, of course, this happening and the bees doing their distribution and so on, clearly, as we said, we'd cease to exist.
Yeah, exactly. Providing lots of honey, which is very nice for us, isn't it?
bees and worker drones reminds me of a Dubarry Saturday horse trials. No, a different level of this, working through that whole process. We have a couple of sort of images here of things that are normally produced, obviously, within honey and so on.
Yeah, we've got a pollinated picnic, which is an interesting, looks delicious, really.
But we can't touch. It does say, do not touch, thank you.
Okay. Whoopsie.
And as you're right to say, picnic without pollination. You see, picnic with pollination, as you said, very delicious. Other side, picnic without pollination.
Oh, yes, very naughty. Not so appealing.
No. In fact, pretty bland, really. I mean, I think you've got, is it macaroni sticks or something? Or some sort of popcorn? That's basically it, really. Not great health-wise either.
No, must. We really need to stick with the bees, don't we, on this one?
I'm delighted to say we've moved now to the Plant Heritage Yorkshire Group with the classic Conserving Our Garden Plants for Today and Tomorrow, and we're about to speak to the wonderful
Richard Lawrence.
Richard, a delight to connect with you once again. I think it was about a year or so we spoke again, and I was so impressed with what you actually got here. But for Zoe's benefit and our listener, just share with us about the National Plant Collections and, as you say, join the Plant Heritage Company and help save our plant heritage.
That's quite right. We've got over 600 national collections around the country, and they all specialise in one particular genus or maybe a historic group. And their aim is to get as many of the genus as they possibly can, and including all the rare ones, and to propagate them so that they're held for the future.
It's often said that our Victorian forebears, when they were going around the globe saying, oh, I'll have a bit of that, I'll have a sample of that, I'll have a bit of that, etc., we're introducing a lot of species into the country which we weren't used to and so on, which has opened up a whole range of things. Benefit of hindsight, should they have left them where they were, or is it a case of, well, if they'd left them where they were, they might have just gone?
That's quite right. I mean, there's still a lot of plants which are in danger in third world countries, and we have to respect now the fact that it's the property of the country, and we don't want to just take it away without permission.
Yes, and let's not talk about the Amazon. That's a different line entirely with respect to the Brazilian president. So, Zoe.
Yeah, such fantastic work, and we can see it's been rewarded with a gold award.
That's right. We're very pleased to get a gold award. It's one of several we've had recently.
Richard, I have to ask this question. We put it to a few people yesterday, and I'm sure you'll understand our sort of, not concern, but excitement, really, as we look ahead. This, number 44, is the last NEHS Autumn Flower Show to be held at the Yorkshire Harrogate Showground before, of course, we move next year to Newby Hall. Are you excited? Is it good? What are your thoughts?
It's going to be logistically a little bit more problematic for us, but we're going to give it a go, see how it goes on.
See, that, Zoe, is what I call traditional British spirit. That's the kind of thing that actually works through that. We will give it a go and see how things happen. And remind us, Richard, how can people who are listening to this access the Plant Heritage company and organisation? How can we reach you on the line?
Well, look up Plant Heritage online. You'll find a lot more information about the charity there. And you can join a local group and also get the benefit of rare plants in our free plant exchange nationally. So there are lots of things that you can benefit from. The Yorkshire Group is a really active group, and we'd love to see you.
Is there a plant heritage group in Northern Ireland, Zoe?
I'm not sure.
There must
be,
sure.
And have a look at it.
Plant heritage group in Northern Ireland, Richard? There must be, surely.
Yes, I think there is. I don't know exactly, but yeah.
Task Zoe when connect with the home sort of science.
Yeah, I've got lots of work to do before next year, don't I?
Well, plant heritage and the gladiola, and then there's just your veterinary final year science, so it's all good.
Increasing my list of tasks as we go.
Now, NAFAS, or the National Association of Floral Arranging Societies, is something which clearly is at the heart of the NEHS flower shows and so on. And Zoe, you've brought us to see an octopus and a hydra and various other creatures from the deep.
Indeed. We've just stumbled upon the best in show, which...
As we do.
Which Laura Pinnett has done an amazing job of. It's unbelievable.
It is an octopus, a purple octopus to be precise, obviously created with flowers and so on. And I think the thing that always impresses me about these arrangements, Zoe, is the attention to detail.
Yeah, incredible. The sand, little shells, even the leaves that have been involved in the eyes are, well, just a whole different level.
Impressive. And its next door neighbour for all this octopus, which is, of course, I think, a member of the cephalopod organisations. And in fact, for completists, I mean, you might like to follow this through, but a light reading, Adrian Tchaikovsky in his novel Children of Ruin, and also Children of Time, actually deals with accelerated evolutionary versions of octopus, because they actually have extremely good problem solving abilities.
Getting through all those little holes.
Absolutely true. Next door to it, of course, we have the Hydra, which, of course, is the Hydra known as the Hydra of Lerna, a mythical creature in Greek and Roman mythologies that lived in lakes of Lerne in the Argolid region, I would say. Yes, Argolid from that point of view. Sometimes I think the quality of the graphology here, honestly, you know, it's slipping. What were your thoughts on the Hydra?
Unbelievable. I particularly enjoy his walnut nostrils.
Does it persuade you to consider going into potential mythological sea creatures as an offshoot in terms of your final year of veterinary studies?
Well, I'm not sure I'd have much work, would I?
Well, that could be a benefit, of course, give you more time to grow the gladioli.
Maybe. Okay, maybe that's the...
You'd be the world's expert in terms of cephalopods, octopi, and indeed extinct sea creatures. Let's progress onwards to see some of these other fine things, and we'll take a few photographs as well. We have the range of creatures that are actually produced here by East Durham College, actually. And the official judge's line for this, I think, is it sort of an elephant? Elephantine?
Yeah, I think so. The judge has written an enchanting design, which I would agree with in my, naive opinion.
It's a valid opinion, Zoe. Never let it you go from that point of view. It lost a few marks, apparently, on the finish, but overall, an excellent interpretation and composition. And, of course, that classic line, not patronisingly phrased at all. Well done.
Yeah, good effort. Well done.
Zoe, if I was to push you, obviously you'd actually take actionable legal offence against that, which is quite right. But if I was to actually sort of say, which one of these sea creatures would get your number one vote, where would you go for?
Oh my goodness, what a question. I think I'd probably pick the seahorse.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm drawn to the phoenix, which is where we're standing by at present, and also this creature that seems to be a bit like a kind of tawny owl, or a sort of a weird Muppet-esque owl, really. A bit like almost a dark crystal creature.
Yeah, its eyes are very intriguing, aren't they?
They're focused, really. Like a thousand-yard stare from the owl. Somebody who's actually seen one too many floral shows and floral events and is basically just saying, for goodness sakes, just get on with it.
Oh my goodness, look at this little creature down there as well. It's very nice.
And yet this one, I say, produced by Daniel Spillane, the line officially, a charming design with hidden gems, as spotted by your good soul, Zoe. A good choice of material. Bottom arrangement not really necessary. How often those words have been used just to myself, really? Your bottom arrangement is not really necessary.
Oh dear, let's not go there.
Obviously, I was referring to the Shakespearean line of Bottom and Midsummer Night's Dream there, a little sort of line for that. But again, captivating, very well made, and indeed, Daniel should be very proud of the design.
Indeed, he should. It's beautiful.
I think you're right, Zoe, and clearly this is where your veterinary skills have actually come to the fore. They're not live birds we're listening to.
No, I'm not sure they are here today.
However, they've served the purpose of drawing us, like a Pied Piper-esque Hamlin moment, to an absolutely fantastic stand, which has got there is pleasure in the pathless woods, there is rapture in the lonely shore, there is society where none intrudes by the deep sea, and music in its roar. A bit of Byron there, I believe, a bit of Lord Byron, actually. Not actually with us on location now, but Tony is, so how are you?
I'm very good, actually. I'm really pleased that you know how to read. I mean, it's always really lovely when visitors can read.
I feel, Tony, it's my duty as an academic at the University of Lincoln to actually prove that literacy is not a dying art.
And what's interesting is...
Hashtag emoji.
What's interesting is when people do read the work, because I combine, obviously, poetry with themes from nature, that's our inspiration, is sort of seeing how they're reminded of childhood or things from family, and that's really inspiring for me as well. And lots of people are sharing personal memories about their experience of a bird or associated with a parent they might have lost, or so it's a lovely experience.
Zoe, I know you're mostly into horses, and we won't go into ravens tapping on our door, because that's too Edgar Allan Poe-ish for this day. And we reach autumn in a few weeks' time, obviously. Questions?
Wow, well, this is just another beautiful stand that we've come along. So you were saying you take lots of inspiration from the birds around you. How have you started this company?
In 2016, I've done a lot of things. I did a huge project with Penguin Books, which went global. I made things based on their paperbacks from the 1930s. And I thought, we don't need more things. So however successful that was, I thought, how can I make things to order for people, but also remind and inspire about the things that are most critical, like the landscape, like the birds, like insects. And so all of this work is informed by that. But when I was doing the work, and I designed the hedgerow screen that was just read out, the piece of Byron, I also thought, but behind all of that, endless generations of poets and artists have worked on similar themes. So what about combining the two?
Wow, yeah, it's really very effective, isn't it?
It does work in so many ways. And how has the event been for yourself so far, as we're approaching the halfway stage of the 44th NEHS Autumn Flower Show, and, as we've said, last one to be held at the Yorkshire Harrogate Showground?
It's lovely. It's my first time here for the autumn, but I did the spring show, and the reason why I'm here is because I did the spring show, which was great, and I love the landscape locally. So I'm doing work for next year based on areas around Massham, the Hackfall Woods. I'm doing some work based on Brimham Rocks. All of these things were things that people suggested to me in April. So I went off walking and drawing and photographing those locations.
I think clearly it was our loss not connecting with you in April, so we've put that right today. Of course, when you're referring to Massham, the sheep racing at Massham is legendary.
Yeah, that's an amazing subject. If only I could capture it, I'd do it justice. I think it might be one beyond me,
I think. I mean, we've covered it a couple of times, and frankly, Zoe, once you've actually seen sheep racing at Massham, you could actually sort of say Masham. No, it's Massham. It's pronunciation, it's a northeastern thing. You would probably sort of think, I'm going to deal with sheep. It's phenomenal. It's like pig racing, but even furrier.
Oh my goodness, I've never seen such an activity.
Tony, how can people access your details online? How far have you come to the show today?
Well, we're based in Oxfordshire, and we travel round, do all of the major RHS shows, and first started doing this show in April, as I said. Mm. And the reason I hadn't done it sooner in 2016 is I kept forgetting to fill out the form, which
Really
daunt, but I'm so busy drawing bits of landscape.
Well, you don't have time for petty bureaucracy.
I told them, and they said, oh, for goodness sake. Okay, we're going to send you the forms early, just to make sure. So I finally got here in April.
Hey, yeah. Destiny. And we'll see you again.
Oh, and generally, yeah, sorry, you asked about the work. We have a website, which is ablackbirdsang.com. And then there are select retailers. So we're stocked by Highgrove and Wisley from next year. And we're also talking to the Duchy of Cornwall. So all sorts of places you can find the work. But directly from us is fine.
Quality will always find a way. Tony, it's been fantastic sharing some good thoughts with your good self this morning. Just interesting, did you ever consider perhaps at least shifting to a little touch of the Beatles and Blackbird as opposed to Birdsong, or is that a case of no, it's far too modern?
No, I think I spoke to Paul only the other week, and he wanted so much money for the rights to broadcast it, and actually, yeah, capture it.
Unbelievable.
Steel. Yeah, I know.
Tony, for the moment, many thanks indeed.
Take care.
Thanks. Good to see you both.
Zoe, as this is your debut of official location reports, etc., because normally you're just working like a slave in the Dubarry area, there, having to cope with that, etc., I thought, let's open our way through and let's connect with another key experience, Sorrel, who has in many ways sort of talked to us about having stalked him, etc. No, the fact that we see him at Bramham, we see him at the Saltburn International Food Festival, we see him in a whole range of the Great Yorkshire Show, and... It's Rob.
You see me everywhere you go. You are my perennial stalker. You realise that, don't you?
Clearly, the joys of artisan chutneys, preserves and Wensleydale tea cheese, if I can even get the words out, you see, it's outrageous, can only be connected with the wonderful Rob from Blueberry Hill Preserves. Rob, how did yesterday go? Chloe was delighted with her particular package, and here we are. Zoe will have lots and lots of questions to actually say, ooh, we should actually buy the whole lot for the team and Charles, really.
Oh, we'd love some cheese!
That threw you, didn't it? Yeah. Do you know, we had a really good day yesterday. I think the autumn show is always a little bit lesser than the spring show normally, but we've always supported the flower shows, especially at Harrogate, this is our 10th year now. And so we've got a fair idea what to expect. And it was a really smashing crowd yesterday. Real good shopping crowd, probably a lot of the members that were here. And we had a fantastic day. And the weather helps, you know. This time of year it can be anything.
Rob, we set them up with the interviews that we started off with. So, I mean, appreciate that, the input from that point of view.
Well, I'm sure that brought a few thousand in later on in the day anyway, as it normally does when we interview with you guys.
There you go. It's all quality stuff. Zoe, questions for Rob about life, the universe, luxury lemon curds, farmhouse chutney, anything really.
So, Rob, you're from not too far away from here. How did you start this company?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm a corporate person in the background. I'm a lot older than I actually look, believe it or not.
So, 32, actually.
Thank you. 33, actually. I wish. So I worked in corporate sales and marketing all around the world. Got burnt out 10 years ago, had enough of what I was doing, wanted to do something completely different, wanted to work for myself. Food and drink, people always want to eat, they always need to drink, no matter how hard their circumstances. We thought there was a little gap in the market for something a little bit niche, artisan. And so here we are 10 years later, doing our fantastic range of preserves and chutneys.
Wow, well, what an experience.
It is pretty awesome. Now, Rob, you normally have the gift of the third eye here. Zoe is shortly going to be graduating as a veterinary surgeon. She'll be sort of looking after horses and all sorts of things. She's already been faced with the challenge of growing gladioli from this particular event today. What do you think? Which I think, you know, I'd like to see some gladioli with Charles on the Jabari stand. I think that would work well.
Yeah, maybe. We could make a nice arrangement.
Yeah. Well, if you can have a boat on, which he had this year, I don't know where he's coming from.
Yeah, exactly, but I'm not sure we're going to hold up much hope for my gladioli.
Refreshing the honours, Zoe. That's what we like about you. But, Rob, what do you suggest Zoe should taste this morning?
Have you got a sweet tooth or a savoury tooth?
Oh, a bit of both, I don't mind.
Here we are. Zoe, which is only 2 weeks old, if I can keep the wasps out. So if you've got a real sweet tooth, it's quite stiff because it's been...
Oh, my goodness.
This is like a little salted caramel sauce, which is a brand new product for us. And it's been
salt and caramel sauce, Zoe. Are you going to take the stick?
You're more than welcome.
It's good.
With wood.
Yeah, handing over the baton.
She works with Jabari. Of course she's all right with wood. Sorry, couldn't resist it. It's a way forward.
It is.
Yeah. She's holding herself together, that's the important thing. Rob's almost corpsing the background there.
Oh, yeah, my goodness.
Exactly.
It's delicious.
It is. So that's a sweet salted caramel sauce. And people always wonder, salted caramel, salt.
Yeah.
But it's all the rage at the moment. It's quite an in thing. And people use that in all sorts of ways. So you can just have it on a bit of crusty bread and toast if you like. But people use it as a dessert product. So you can add it to ice cream, to waffles, to pancakes, to porridge. Mix it with natural yogurt to make it like a relatively unhealthy yogurt-based product, and then you can bake with it, or you can heat it and use it like as a hot butterscotch sauce as well. So lots of different ways you can use it.
So thumbs up for yourself, Zoe.
Yeah, very versatile too, isn't it?
We'll make sure that's there. And clearly, as you know, Rob, we need to sort of coordinate this. Zoe's three countries in 2 days, because she came up to us via North Wales today, where she was doing an internship. Goodness. Into Yorkshire, off to Scotland tonight.
Oh, bless you. Where are you going in Scotland tonight?
I'm off to Edinburgh.
Partying.
Maybe.
Veterinary surgeon Jabari.
We only get the very best co-hosts. You know that, Rob.
I know what you get as co-hosts. They're always young and beautiful. I don't know where you find them from. Never mind, that's rubbish.
It's not... sounding more and more like Charles every day, isn't it?
Must be a show circuit thing.
Yeah, I think so.
It is, like I said yesterday, I want to know where he gets you all from, because I want to be part of that circle. It's unbelievable.
So let us move on. We're clearly putting together a little package, which clearly we will put through herself in terms of what would you recommend. Should she have a sweet, a sour, maybe a bit of cheese to help her on her way?
She can do whatever she likes. She can pick whatever she fancies.
Go for it, Zoe. It's your choice. This is your bonus thing.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know where to begin.
Cheese, sweet, savoury, sauce. Whatever you fancy.
Wow. What's your favourite?
Ooh. Well, they're all my babies, so they're all my favourites. So I don't pick favourites. What I can tell you are which are the most popular ones. So on the sweet side, you've got lemon curd and the salted caramel, which is new. The most popular jam we do is a raspberry and vanilla, which is quite a sweet raspberry jam. And then on the savoury side, we go from mild to hot. And of the mild ones, we do a Yorkshire ploughman's pickle, which is like what we call our posh Branston, if you like, without the acidity of a Branston.
And then it's Yorkshire, Zoe. We tell it like it is.
And then the hot one, without the wasp, is... And then the hot one, we do a hot garlic pickle, which outsells everything else on the table by about 3-1. That's cheese, saucy. So if you like a little bit of nip and a little bit of spice, sweet garlic, You won't be kissing tonight at your party if you have any.
Steady, Rob. I mean, I just sort of thinking cheese, sweet, savoury, and pickle could actually be, you know, in another brand name for Jew Barry. But you know, it's just a lie.
Oh dear, I don't know.
What are you going to go for, Zoe? Whilst you're thinking, I'll just give a plug for the joys of blueberryhillpreserves.co.uk. See what I did there? Joys of blueberryhillpreserves.co.uk. And Rob, have an awesome next couple of days. I'm sure it will work splendidly. One final question. Are you ready for the shift to Newby Hall next year for the Autumn Flower Show?
Well, it's interesting. We only found out about it yesterday, really.
We knew about it a little bit beforehand, but we had to say, shh.
I understand, sir. And I've heard the rationale behind it. I don't know is the honest answer. Newby Hall is a lovely venue, a little bit further afield, fair play. And the only issues that we've experienced with Newby Hall in the past is access and egress, which can be quite tricky.
Getting in, getting out.
Correct, because of where it is. So if they can overcome that and put some planning into that, then there's no reason why it shouldn't be successful. The Flower Show's got a very loyal following. It's a lot of the similar people come year in, year out. So if they can lay it out nicely and make it attractive, and if the weather holds fair, I'm sure it'll be okay.
Well, I see, Rob, you've got your marching band as ever, so that's good. You see, get a marching band when you next go past the Jew Barry stand. They'll sort of invite you in perfectly.
I've got no chance of getting in there. I'm far too old and far too grey. No chance whatsoever.
Oh,
I'm not enough money.
Not at all. We'll have the champagne waiting.
Oh, yeah.
And with the dulcet tones of the theme to the BBC World War drama Colditz, all about a German concentration camp, How fitting, Zoe, that we can actually talk about life and times, etc. We're actually just looking at the bandstand at present, and we'll let that Colditz theme go by. Apparently one of the most difficult concentration camps to emerge from. I used to think that was just Butlins, but no, it was indeed Colditz.
Oh dear. Yeah, I think the band have heard we've arrived.
They have arrived, yes, and they're performing now. And let's, now you've had a chance to actually take part in the audio promenade, what are your thoughts so far?
Yeah, it's very impressive, isn't it?
Bigger than you expected, smaller than you anticipated when we first saw it. Zoe, would you like to come and join us at the NEHS Autumn Flower Show?
Yeah, quite a lot bigger than I expected. But yeah, there's lots to see and do, so it's very exciting.
And in terms of favourite highlights, any particular exhibitor that you thought, yeah, they were nice, but ultimately I'd go for that one.
Oh my goodness, you can't put me in that situation.
We are and we have, but we'll give you a few moments to think about that because we've still got to hopefully have a few words with our show director. That would be the wonderful Nick Smith. And are you a brass band follower, by the way?
I'm not sure.
Very sensible answer that. We'll put it into the same department of Zoe James answers or ZJ answers, which I'm still working on. I mean, yeah, ZJ, the equine amazing vet. You know, I think that would work with branding.
Yeah, we can build that brand.
It's all about the branding. Let's make our way back here and leave with a few more moments of the music of Colditz, as outlined by one of our wonderful local Yorkshire, and I'll use the term here, brass bands, my girl, brass bands.
Oh, right, okay. It's a new one, isn't it?
Zoe, in a year's time, you'll be a qualified vet. Who knows where you'll be practicing, etc. It's your first ever experience of the NEHS Autumn Flower Show, and I think it's fair to say you've been impressed.
Yeah, very impressive, isn't it?
And even more impressive is the show director. Yes, it's Nick Smith. He's with us now.
Good morning, Alex. Good morning, Zoe.
Good morning.
So I gather from Camilla that Friday the 13th, or Tristadecaphobia, if you're scared of Friday the 13th, had a bit of a problem with the scales yesterday.
We had the unfortunate situation where the scales were bussed by Giant Veg. But luckily, we had engineers to hand, and it came through. But yes, a typical Friday the 13th for us.
And having seen those giant vegetables this morning, Zoe, I think it's fair to say you can understand why.
Yeah, exactly. Very understandable the scales keep up.
So questions for Nick, please, before he rushes off to more press material, etc. What thoughts would you like to share with him?
What's your highlight of the show so far this year?
Do you know what? I think it's literally just a spectacle. I think if you go up to those top marquees where we've got what we call the specialist societies, which are all the dahlias and the chrysanthemums, I've never seen flowers as big. I mean, they're the size of your head. They're absolutely incredible.
And a phrase that Zoe actually used this morning when referring to onions.
Yeah, that onion definitely was bigger than my head. But the flowers are very impressive.
There is slightly an urge to draw a face on one of those onions, and I've never succumbed to that urge, but one day it might happen.
We first off at Newby Hall. No, let's not go there.
No,
well,
let's not.
Listen, Nick, I have to sort of, before you head off with this, I thought it was wonderful that we have the brass band actually playing the theme from Colditz. Now, that's not to suggest you're just trying to escape from the Yorkshire Agricultural Society, is it, surely?
It's certainly not. We also play Africa by Toto. It doesn't
nice.
Mean we go on there.
It's going to be tremendous. We know you're off now for things. Any final sort of lines that you'd like to share, Zoe?
No, just what a wonderful show it's been so far. So, yeah, well done.
Yesterday, Chloe just completely blown away, our singer-songwriter. Today, vet of the year, I'm sure, in years to come. That's Zoe. Nick, continue with the excellent work.
Thank you very much.